the Blue Jays won, so at least something went well today. It was an interesting trade deadline. I actually don't think it was all bad. I think the Blue Jays made some good moves, some opposite of good moves, but we're going to talk about it because it's the most exciting thing going on in baseball right now. Actually, this is because it's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. He is Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Shulman. You can listen to us on, where can you listen? Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Odyssey, YouTube, Locked On Jays. You can talk to us at Locked On Jays Twitter. You can email us, the communication of the future.
We have an email, by the way.
Locked On Blue Jays Real at gmail.com. R-E-A-L. I don't know if we have any new emails.
I just said we have an email.
Oh, we have an email. I thought you just meant like we have an email.
No, we've got. You want me to read it right now?
Should we off the top? Is it trade deadline related?
Yeah, let's just do an off the top. I don't know. I haven't read it.
All right, we're gonna do trade deadline, but we're men of the people.
This is a email. We have two emails. Wow, both of them from people who have already emailed us. So we totally appreciate it. Email us as much as you want. Hello, Bones and Ben. I think one of you said near the beginning of the year, Ben, that it's World Series or bust this year. I'm sure the players
feel definitely that too.
Yeah, 100% me. However, in my opinion, winning a series would mean that this season is a success. Beating the Astros or Yankees in the second round would be a huge success. There are a few reasons why I think this. After narrowly missing the playoffs last year, making it this year and advancing would be significant progress. Also, I would count this as the first postseason berth for this group. Vlad, Bo, and Kirk were still developing in 2020, and the pitching has completely turned over, not to mention the shortened season and expanded playoff format. I think it is important for this group in its current form to experience October baseball and learn what it takes to win in that setting. Ultimately, if the Blue Jays don't win a championship with this core of players, that will be a failure, but I don't think it's a failure if that doesn't happen this year, just if it doesn't happen in the next few years. What would you consider to be a successful result for this team? Making the playoffs, winning a series, the pennant, winning the whole dang thing? This podcast makes my boring work days a bit better. Keep up the good work, boys, and go Jays. Ian, we appreciate that. A success in my eyes is success in the playoffs. So if they get that, that's success in my book.
Very vague from you. Well, kind of vague.
I like winning world championships. That's what I like.
Yeah. Well, the Blue Jays have won 2, not 27. I actually like really wholeheartedly agree with Ian. I would like for the Blue Jays to get out of a round. And the first round's 2 out of 3 this year, right? Because it's a weird format now. Extra team.
Yes, the first round is 2 out of 3. And then you play like I don't know. It's weird now.
Yeah. It's like, to me, it's kind of like the wild card game. If you lose in the wild card game, you technically made the playoffs, but like you didn't really play in the playoffs. Like,
For this group, I think success is making it to the championship series. That's where
that
they should
would
be.
Require beating one of the Astros or Yankees.
Correct. And I mean, this is a really talented group, man.
Yeah.
What more do you want? Like, here's my question.
I think I'm okay.
This kind of plays into trade deadline. If this isn't the group that's going to do it, what more do they need? I mean, you've made the pitching moves last year with Barrios. You signed Kikuchi. You've got this great young core. What more do you need? They should be able to make to the championship series.
But I just think playoff experience is invaluable. And I agree with Ian. Like, I don't really count the 2020 playoffs. It was a whole weird year.
I agree with that too. I totally agree.
They wouldn't have qualified.
That's a Mickey Mouse year.
So like if they went in 1 or 2 out of 3, you know, if they lose in 5 games to the Astros, I'm not going to get mad at them. Do I think they're capable of winning? Yeah. But as long, like, it's progression. As long as there's progression to a certain extent, I'm happy. I would love if they made the championship series. That would be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I think if they won one round, like the opening round, I would be okay with that. Because these guys need to get older, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're right about playoff experience. I mean, just kind of think about it from this perspective. Like, when Vladdy's a veteran and hopefully has a championship under his belt, you'll probably look at his career and think that part of the reason he's so good at his age is because he was able to win and it took him a little bit of time and he got that playoff experience. So, you know, and I think that goes for a lot of young cores, just like this one. I mean, there aren't many that go out there and win immediately. I think the Cubs are kind of like one of the examples that did do that, but like there aren't a lot of teams that go out and do that. So, yeah, I think winning in the playoffs is always successful. It always means success.
What's email number two? And then we are going to get to trades. Okay. I promise.
Email number two from Brandon. That one was from Ian. Brandon, another second time emailer, said, should we be dissatisfied with the Jays management? This is about deadline. Should we be dissatisfied with the Jays management this deadline? Where does Witt fit in? Does he take Santiago's spot when Springer comes back? Do you think we have added enough depth to our pen? It's definitely better, but is it enough? You guys rock. Cheers, Brandon. No, Brandon, you rock. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you rock, Brandon. All right, we're getting into the trade deadline right now. Let's do it.
All right, can I just talk about this trade for a second, the Witt trade?
The Witt
trade? I have a lot of thoughts about this Witt trade.
On Brandon's general question, can I just say, I don't think there should be a firestorm on management. I think there were good trades, and I think there weren't good trades. But start with the trade that both of us, I don't think, like that much.
I want to answer his question as well. I think you should be dissatisfied with management because, here's my because. This has been a thing all season long. You kind of knew from like week three that they were going to need a piece. You knew that they were a couple of pieces away. So if I'm the front office right there, that's when I start my search. Okay, who are we targeting? Who do we want? And can we get them by June? You don't have to wait until the deadline to trade for somebody, people. I don't know why it took the Jays till to the final hour to be like, okay, we'll get Whit Merrifield. Why? Okay, we'll get Anthony Bass. It's like, why couldn't you do that like 2 weeks ago? I don't understand this. And there were some tweets today, I don't know if you saw them, that said that some Jays players, and I don't know all the validity to this, but I saw some tweets from sources that were reliable that said some Jays players were upset with front office management that they hadn't gotten a piece till that point, and that teams like the Yankees in their division had. And I think there's total merit to that, because if you're trying to win a division, and the Jays are, they probably don't have a shot at taking the Yankees down right now because they're so far ahead, but they definitely have a shot at being the number one wild card team. And if you're trying to have success in the playoffs this year, and you are, why are you not making every move possible to make your team better? This isn't a franchise that is poverty stricken or can't go out there and make moves for some financial reason. They have money. Go out there, go get a star. I'm not saying spend every dollar you have. I'm just saying don't be afraid to make a change, especially when you absolutely need one. So that's my answer to the first question. But my thoughts on this trade, on the Whitfield trade.
I think this
okay,
is
a go ahead.
Hard for me to read an advertisement and then.
Oh my
keep
gosh, I forgot we're so deep in.
For
okay,
our,
sure.
For our Whit Merrifield thoughts are coming up on the other side. But before we get there, I should let you know two things. That today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. And I have more Blue Nile because I messed up the order of how things go. So whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at Blue Nile. .com. Blue Nile has the sole online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, clarity, as well as swing style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft your perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry, but you're having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle from BlueNile.com, and going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings, plus pre-order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free, find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com. MLB.com today. Whit Merrifield. So I guess we're going to go through each trade of the three big ones.
Sure.
We'll start with Whit. I know you have thoughts, but I want to let you.
I do have thoughts.
Percolate a little bit so that it comes out at more of a explosion of steam. So I'll start with my thoughts. I was confused when I saw this trade. that was my initial emotion, confusion. Anything with just to get this out of the way, anything with the Whit Merrifield and Travel Toronto, obviously they have worked this out if he's going to be a Blue Jay. So we don't even need to talk about that.
Wouldn't it be wild if they didn't? That'd be crazy.
Yeah, well, that's not even a world. Whit Merrifield for five, you know, maybe even last year. His numbers dropped a bit last year, but really for 5 years, was I would say a very good baseball player. Like rumored to be traded pretty much every deadline because every the Royals have been pretty bad. And they've been bad, like they were good, and then he came and like immediately after that got bad.
I just gotta say this real quick. Is the longest running train outside your house right now?
I'm so sorry. If it makes you feel better, it's coming back in an hour and I'm trying to sleep. So I really apologize to the listeners. My windows are closed. This train is way across a parking lot. Like, it's the oldest rails. The screech. You get woken up at 2:30 in the morning to this screech, and you're like, that sound lives in my head. Horror movies have nothing. let's get back to it, though. I'm sorry for everyone listening. Maybe I'll rock headphones next time. This guy led the majors in hits in 2018 and 2019. And hit over 300 in the process. However, he has a 643 OPS this year. He's batting 240. He's got a below 300 on base percentage. He never was that big of a slugger anyway. His doubles numbers are actually like not awful, but they're not great. So, you know, there was a question in the email I want to address. What's the fit? I don't think Whit Merrifield was brought in to play second base all that much, to be honest with you, because fairly objectively, this year, he's been worse than both Spinal and Biggio. Like, he's played
absolutely
more than Biggio.
100%.
But I would say it's fairly objective with Espinal's defense, Biggio's versatility and on-base mentality, or versatility and on-base mentality, I was trying to rhyme, that... he's a worse player. He does steal bases, but he's a worse player. What this screams to me, and you texted this to a group chat we have too, so I know you share the same opinion, is they might need to put George on the IL, or they might need to have someone there. Absolutely. Which I will 100%. Say, I think I said yesterday, I want that.
You did.
Like, I want you them did. To bring an outfielder in and put George on the IL, even
just
if it's just
guy.
Pain tolerance. Yeah. That's the thing. And especially not this guy because of what you gave up. I mean, we've covered Samad Taylor on Prospect Roundup. This is a top 30 prospect for the Blue Jays who's like played well this year. Max Castillo is a dude. He's been really good. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's good. He's young. They could have put him in the bullpen like at the very end of it for the playoffs. And I would have been cool with it. He had club role. So I'm not in love with Whit, even though, like, if you look back past a year, you could convince yourself on it. But I'm really not in love with the package. If you're going to get Whit, I thought they could have done it for cheaper. But I guess not.
I saw this trade while I was watching MLB Tonight's trade deadline special. Mark Feinsohn comes on the screen at 6:01 or 6:02 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and said, and he goes, Whit Merrifield has been traded. I have no idea to where. And I said, I was like, well, that doesn't help. And I was at no point was I like, this is the Blue Jays. I didn't for a second think that the Blue Jays had swooped in to get Whit Merrifield. I mean, a peculiar player to be targeting. Like Ben said, you look at this guy's stats. He's not exactly a world beater. A lot of underwhelming stuff when it comes to his baseball reference page. None of what he's good at has been there this season. I mean, this guy's a contact guy through and through. Ben said it two times, led the majors in hits, 2018 and 19, 192 hits in 18, 206 in 19. Kind of last of a dying breed in that sense. Last year, led the MLB in doubles, led the AL in steals. Fantastic player last year. This season has been none of that. And that would be one thing if you gave up some prospect that you and me have never heard of. But to give up the number 16 prospect in the Jays organization in Samad Taylor, and then Max Castillo, who started two games this season, has a 3.05 ERA and has a lot of promise for the future, is another. I mean, absolutely unacceptable. And it's for a guy who's just George insurance, which is one thing, like you say, I thought we needed, or the Jays needed. I thought that was really important, because if you're going to have Springer go down, you cannot start Bradley Zimmer every single game. Just won't work out for you. He's not going to hit a home run like he's playing against Justin Verlander every single game. You needed a guy. Honestly, I would have loved to see Hap there, if you want to name. I would have loved to see Hap come in and do his thing.
I think the Hap asking price must have been really high, because them not moving
Well, the whole market is screwed right now because everybody thinks they have their own Juan Soto.
But I will defend them in that. Like, no one got the Cubs guys. It wasn't like, didn't jump in on the Cubs guys and the Yankees picked them up. Like, it's one thing to get angry about, like, Syndergaard, but for some reason, no one got Hap.
Yeah. Phillies kind of stole two Jays guys in Syndergaard and Robertson, but maybe that's a conversation for 5 minutes.
Phillies just taking a page out of the Braves book to sidetrack for a second.
Totally. But yeah, so I mean, I don't think the Witt trade was a good one. I really don't. I think they needed him, or not needed him. They needed somebody, not necessarily him. They had to give him a lot less. I think they botched there. Honestly, like, that trade tanked what I saw from them from the deadline, because I really thought they were having a great deadline up until that point. And we should probably move on to the other trade.
Can I just give you like three silver linings? Because I don't want people, like, I will say, before this year, Whit Merrifield was a good player. So there is a chance that, like,
he's a veteran, so maybe he's good to have in the clubhouse.
And I'll just a couple things that I like, aside from the stolen bases, which I think are nice, because the Jays, I love a pinch runner in the playoffs. You need a pinch runner in the playoffs. They didn't really have one, so I think that's a good one. Positional versatility. He can play the infield. He can play the outfield. Has hit really well in his career against the Rays. Has hit really well in his career against the Red Sox. Doesn't have terrible numbers, like a mid-700s against the Yankees. Not awesome numbers against the O's. We'll figure that out. Has hit really well in his career against the Mariners. So teams that the Blue Jays are competing with that have big series against, at least there's a decent track record. Now, this could be for better or worse. Signed through 2023. And his contract isn't bad, I will say. He's on a five-year, $23 million deal. So he's really not costing you a lot of money. And you do get him for next year. So if things go well, then that's a nice player to have if he's like even close to his full powers. And if things don't go well, he's only making like $4.5 million. And you could probably find a way to get rid of that.
Yeah. My stat that I was going to bring up is two. One is that he's had a fantastic July. So that is something that you should look at, and that he's kind of been ramping up this season. He had a 141 average in April and March, a 265 average in May, a 252 average in June, and a 286 average with an 826 OPS in July. So he has been ramping it up, and he's been getting better and better the season gone along. So that has been something that you should keep your eye out on. Or what's the saying there? I just totally
keep your eye on. And he's going to see good pitches. Just on that point, he's going to see better pitches with the Blue Jays, because he's not a focal point of the lineup. He's slid right near the bottom. It's like you can't walk with because George Springer's or Vlad's coming up, you know?
The other interesting thing is that if you look at it, I love looking at leverage stats because I find them really interesting. Leverage stats is basically there's three different leverages. low, medium, and high. Low leverage is top of the first, nobody out or whatever. Medium is like there's a guy on and there's an out or something like that. Then high leverage is like bases are loaded, whatever. Whit Merrifield, I'm willing to bet without looking at any other stats from any other players, I bet you that he is the worst hitter in low leverage situations in all of baseball. I almost guarantee it. He hits 145, 192 on base percentage, a 168 slugging with a 359 OPS in low leverage situations. That is insanely bad. Like, it's hard to be that bad. That's with nobody on, nobody out. Like, the guy cannot hit the baseball. If there are guys on base, though, he gets a lot better. Medium leverage situations, the guy's a 300 hitter with an 806 OPS. I mean, that is one end of the spectrum to the other. And in a high leverage situation, he's kind of middle of the, I mean, he's better than nothing. So, I mean, he's pretty darn good in medium and solid in high leverage, a 258 average in high leverage with a 737 OPS. So as the stakes get higher, he gets better. And I think it's crazy that he's that bad when there are no stakes. I don't know, maybe the pressure is what needs to get him going. So don't let us, talking bad about this trade get you down on Whit, because he could be a good player and there are potential upsides and silver linings in him. But we should probably move on to the other trades because we don't have a lot of time left.
We should. Do you have an advertisement?
I got to read an ad real quick, though. All right. Bet Online. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline.net continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Pow. All right. Next trade I think we'll talk about is the Anthony Bass trade. By the way, we're not going to cover Jeremy Beasley traded to the Pirates for cash considerations, but I feel for you, Bones.
I didn't see that. That's my guy.
Yeah, he's a Pirate now. He's not reunited with Heinemann. He's reunited with Heinemann.
Sad, man. I didn't know that.
So the Blue Jays traded Jordan Groshen, a former first-round pick, and a player to be named later for Anthony Bass and Zach Pop. I really like this trade. I actually really like this trade. I know Anthony Bass isn't the sexiest name out there. He has been nails this year. And I went to look at his game logs to see the leverage that he was pitching in. And like seventh inning, so it's not like nothing, you know, he's not like there, oh, it's a lopsided
exactly game. Let's what the Jays need.
Yeah, he's a seventh inning guy who's got a 1.4 ERA, has pitched in Toronto, knows the pitching coach, knows the staff. Pete Walker's his name, by the way. And I really like this for the Blue Jays. And then Zach Pop, always love bringing a Canadian back when possible, so that's nice. An aptonym is a name that fits you. So, like, there's a guy in my league, Drew Swift, who's really fast. His last name is a good aptonym because he's Swift. Zach Pop's got an opposite aptonym, like a disaptonym. Pitchers don't want Pop because, to me, I associate that with hitting. But Pop's having a decent year, like 3.5 ERA. I would rather him, like, Pop could take Trevor Richards, Gonzo, or at least move him back. So I think, and look, Jordan Groshans is a bit of a hefty fee because he was a first-round pick. But at the same time, Jordan Groshans is like a left-side infielder, and they just don't need that. You know, they have Chapman for a few years and Bo for like the foreseeable future. So while, you know, it's tough to give up your 12th-round pick or 12th overall pick from a couple years ago, he was having like not a great year at AAA, and I just don't think they needed him. I think this was a perfect use of his prospect value.
I think it's a fantastic trade. I thought this was one of the better trades of the day because Groshans wasn't getting that good. I don't think he was going to be anything spectacular. Still could be. Prove me wrong. But 22 years old, and he's still struggling. I mean, and where are you going to put him, right? Like you said, like what the infield is cluttered. You're not going to put him anywhere. I think, like you said as well, great use of his value. Because I think Bass has been totally dominant this year. Whip under one, which you know I love. A 1.41 ERA, so the cosmetic stats look good. Strikeouts, fine. He gets basically a strikeout for every inning he pitches. He's exactly what the Jays need. I mean, exactly what they need. Only given up one home run so far this season. You didn't need Josh Hader, okay? You just needed a guy to come in and be lights out in the seventh inning because you don't need a closer. You got Jordan Romano. You don't need a setup, man. You got Adam Simber. You got Jimmy Garcia. You needed a guy to be called on and come in and just shut the door whenever you need him to in the middle innings, in the late middle innings. And that's exactly what Bass is going to be. Also a reunion, as he played for the team a couple seasons ago. So that's also exciting. Back in 2020.
Yeah, and
so
sorry, just
Pop's good too.
Yeah. On a reunion note, kind of cool. Like Anthony Bass played for the Blue Jays in 2020. So he never actually
played in the Rogers Center.
Yeah, I don't even know how many times he's pitched in the Rogers Center.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's kind of cool. Like he had an interview answer about it, like kind of being excited. Like now he's actually being a Blue Jay, you know? He got like a taster of it.
Totally. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to look that up right now, actually. Yeah, I think this is a good trade, though. I mean, exactly what they needed. Totally.
Two bullpen arms was what we wanted. And two bullpen arms is what we got.
He's never played. He's never pitched at the Rogers Center.
So that's
very
cool.
Interesting. Yeah, that is cool.
I think we're overall happy with that trade.
Yeah, I think that's a very good trade. Ross and Mark get a little bit more grace in my book, but still not happy about that with trade. But hey, maybe it'll be good.
Let's go to trade three. The final one.
You have a lot more on trade three than I do, so you go ahead.
Yes. So this trade is Mitch White and Alex DeJesus. The Jays gave away Nick Frasso. Do you got Frasso's numbers? I got Moises Brito's numbers. He's the other guy.
I will pull up Frasso's numbers.
Okay, so Brito is who they traded away is a 20-year-old international signing who was just pitching at rookie ball. His numbers are good. However, I don't know. It's like a 20-year-old at rookie ball, so I'm not like – maybe he'll turn out to be fantastic, but I think none of us know. So I can't really be that heartbroken over it. So many good and bad things could happen in between then that you never really know. Frasso is a guy who we definitely had on prospect roundup.
Yeah, Frasso, I'm looking at his numbers, like, and I remember looking at them before. He was a dog this year. I mean, and he only played in 10 games this season, but in them, he has a 0.74 ERA, 57 strikeouts, are in 36 and two thirds. I mean, that's pretty darn good. And a 0.7 whip. Like the guy was absolutely lights out, probably playing in a level that's a little bit too easy for him. He's in Dunedin right now, or he was in Vancouver when he left. So he never got to double A. You got to assume he's going right to double A because the guy's been elite. But a fourth round pick who really panned out. Sad to see him go, but I think it's worth it in this trade.
Yeah, so let me get on the big part of this trade that I know. So Alex DeJesus, I know Mitch White is what people are paying attention to, and we're going to get to that. But Alex DeJesus plays in the league I broadcast in, the Midwest League. So I have seen him play more than once for the Great Lakes Loons, the Dodgers affiliate. He's really good. Like to be like the throw-in in this deal, when I saw they got Alex DeJesus, it like didn't click for a second, and then it clicked, and I was like, oh, I know Alex DeJesus. The guy has been raking this year. He's played at two different levels, and he's got an 832 OPS overall, but he started at single A and had an 880 OPS, so they bumped him up to the league I'm in, high A. And he's been really solid. 797 OPS with a 282 batting average. The power numbers have gone down a little bit when he jumped up a level, but he puts the ball in play a lot. He plays pretty good defense. It says shortstop, third baseman. He's more of a third baseman. But a guy that's much more, like we're talking Groshans, where is he going to play? This is much more projectable of being a replacement when Chapman's like Blue Jay career is done because this guy's only 20. So he's got some time. He's hit really well pretty much the entire time he's been in the minors. The one kind of tough thing about him is he strikes out a lot. He struck out 115 times in 87 games this year. That's a lot. But he's not like a low contact guy. So it's a weird mix. Like, he's batting 282 at high A. So he's striking out a lot, but he's still picking up a lot of hits. So hopefully that's something they work out. That's cool. And then Mitch White, here's the funny thing to kind of circle back. I feel like they just kind of went and replaced their Max Castillo. Like, they want another starter. They want some Kikuchi insurance. Mitch White has started 10 games for the Dodgers this year and pitched well. Obviously, he's older than Castillo, so it's like more of locking down, like, you know, what you have. I don't hate it. I mean, I don't think it's like earth-shattering, but he's a competent pitcher that has pitched both out of the rotation and the pen. And whether you bring him up to the pen or if he's just a safety option for the rotation, you know, I do have today, when you're listening to this, Yusei Kikuchi as my hype train, so we'll see how that goes. But if it doesn't work out, I wouldn't, like, looking at the numbers, I'd be lying if I looked at much more than that for Mitch White. It seems like he could hang in there and be a serviceable fifth starter.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what you hope. Not necessarily. And those guys could always turn into, I love, you know, it's sad at the time, but I love the story of a failed starter into an elite bullpen guy. So maybe that happens. You never really know with those guys. So I think you should be happy and excited about the DeJesus news, because I'm taking it from your word that this guy's pretty darn good. The 33 stolen bases is what jumps off the page to me. I mean, You've got a guy who's just stealing bases left and right. I know the analytics say it's like dumb or something, but I so don't care. Like, I so don't care. I love stolen bases. So I'm amped about that if I'm following this pretty closely. So, I mean, overall, what do you give the Jays on trade deadline day?
So before I get my grade, I'll preface, like, I don't hate the deadline. I really don't think they did a terrible job. Like, I think a lot of people think that. I think they filled a lot of the needs we wanted them to fill. They got it. They got another starter in case the Kikuchi stuff doesn't work out. They added two bullpen arms. I don't understand what the Whit Merrifield thing was, but they filled that need. I don't know, like a C+, B- range. Like, they, you know, they didn't have the Mets deadline. Like, I would have, you know,
the even Mets though I was terrible,
even though I was banging the table for Michael Givens, like, it wasn't in action. They didn't go get a star, but they had action. Like, they were just doing nothing. So I thought there was going to be more, but I still think they did a decent job. So I'm going to land B-.
I'm a little bit more harsh than you, just because I think that the expectation was higher, and always the expectation is always high for fans, right? That's always the story. But I do think that the need was higher than what they delivered on. I think, you know, honestly, looking at Witt's advanced stats, I actually am a little bit higher on him than I thought. But I'm going to give him a C for the day.
I do think both of us talked ourselves a little bit more into the Whit than we thought.
We definitely talked ourselves in. I am perplexed still by those leverage stats, but it is what it is. We got to end this pod.
I will say, I looked at his career splits, and the leverage stats are much different in his career splits. He's really good in high leverage, and he's like whatever in low leverage. He's like a 720 OPS or something, so it's not terrible. The Blue Jays won also, but we don't really care. I mean, Good job, Kevin Gausman. Vladdy's hot. Let's keep rolling. But appreciate you making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen today. Make your second one a Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert PFS, Paul Francis Sullivan, brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective to every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Shout out to all my tin caps who were traded today. Whose autograph you got for you?
Asa Lacy.
Nice. I got Corey Rozier, future Red Sox. Excited.
It's a good. I like that signature.
Yeah, it's a good signature. A little X on the top and all that stuff. Kind of nice. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, trade deadline, you know, involves real people too. So trades are sad sometimes. But Thank you for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow. We'll have our series recap and we'll preview the next one. Peace.